Welcome to the Airport Lounge. I'm your host, Airport. This podcast is aimed at providing deeper insights into all things Web3, including the stories of prominent figures, builders, and community members generally operating in this space. My guest today is Aura. Aura is a trader, thread writer, and team member at Momentum NFT. We met in Sneaky's Internet Friends, where we both are contributors, when we co-hosted an AMA together. We've kept in touch ever since, and as you'll hear in this episode today, Aura is a man of many talents, spending a good portion of his time trading NFTs, networking, and creating content, all while maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Now, it's incredibly important to note that nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial advice. Please do your own research fully before deciding to make any investments, and make sure not to invest anything that you're not comfortable losing 100% of. As always, I want to also take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, Origins NFT. Origins started out as an alpha group with custom data analytics, but has since transformed into a community of traders and kind of a hub of builders in the Web3 space. Anyone who's followed me on Twitter for some length of time will have seen me post the occasional Origins chart together with some analysis. It's been my home base since I entered the Web3 space, and the team has been busy building out a terminal with even more functionality, more tools, and a better trading experience for everyone in the Web3 space. So, if you're looking for a community to call home, do check out Origins. Pop into the Discord and ping me or one of the mods in the comments channel if you have any questions. Thank you, as always, to Origins for sponsoring this podcast. And without further ado, let's get into today's episode with Aura. All right, looks like we're live. Aura, how you doing, man?
Doing great, bro. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for hopping on. I want to start with the big ticket item right away, which is, you know, I saw on your Twitter that you posted recently that you've been trading for some time now, and that you're approaching eight figures. Is that right? Did I read that right?
Yeah, it's kind of a stretch, eight figures, because like I'm in like the you know, the one or two sevens, but I think by my 5-year plan, by the time everything gets going and everything goes by the way I think it will, I should hit eight figures. Yeah.
That's crazy. Is that, how long have you been trading for, man?
So the story kind of starts like in high school, 2017 top. I got into Litecoin at like $150 with all the money that I had, and I rode it to the top, right? And obviously it's your first cycle, and I didn't sell. Mm-hmm. So I went from like, I think like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to like a decent sum of money, right? And then it all went to zero. And I'm like, holy shit, like here I am. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stick through it to it. And this year, 2021 came. And then I discovered NFTs in August, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where it all started for me. Like NFTs were my big home run.
That's nuts. We actually got in at a similar-ish time. I think it was like a month or two after you. Yeah, that's crazy. So what kind of money did you start with in NFTs, and what are you sort of trading at? You mentioned that you're at like a couple mil now. Yeah. What did you start with in NFTs?
Okay, so that's the thing, right? So even when it was like, it was 2021, and I was a big proponent of the Plan B 4-year cycle thing, right? So I bought in 2020, and I put in all the money I had. I think it was like $12,000 at the time. Mm-hmm. And then it grew up to like about $45,000. And then I found NFTs, and I'm a really big like risk management guy. So I was like, okay, I want to learn this field. So I'm going to put in like a percentage of my portfolio, which at the time was 45K, into NFTs. Mm-hmm. And I put in 9,000. And then from 9,000, it just grew. And it's like, I never looked back.
That's nuts. No, that's crazy. I mean, that's, insane success, but it is kind of the thing that you hear about from time to time in NFTs, which is pretty badass. But yeah, I mean, what were you cooking, man? Like, what were the biggest, do you have like standout sort of buys that in your head that like were, you know, just printed?
Yeah. So this is like basically the origin story. Like, I feel like a lot of the people who were like in the August, you know, September range of NFTs, they have their big cooks, right? Because during that time, like whatever you bought, maybe an hour, 2 hours later, 3-5x, right? Mm-hmm. And basically there was this time where it was just a period of pixel art, and everything that was pixel art would cook, right? So mm-hmm. there was this big drop that was coming up, and it was called Galactic Apes. And at the time, like I was lucky, like basically fortunate enough to know that some of these people who had like the inside scoop on this tech. And at the time it was called Eden, and it's still called Eden now, but it basically would prioritize your transaction to like front run everyone else. And I was able to mint like 200 Galactic Apes at like, so the mint price was, I think, 0.08 per mint. And I got out of the gas war with 200 of them at like 0.1 ETH. And like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was insane. And like, honestly, I was so euphoric, and I kind of abandoned my principles, but I was able to make out pretty well from that drop.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's nuts. I kind of remember that one. I think Sneaky was talking about that one quite a bit when it happened. But yeah, that's nuts, man. And so since then, it's sort of been, you know, has there been like a strategy to what you do, or is it more just sort of following the ebb and flow of the market?
So yeah, I'm definitely more of like ebb and flow guy more than like implementing my own strategy, because I feel like when I'm a firm believer of when the market is difficult or hard to trade, you should not trade, right? Mm-hmm. You can trade, but you would rather use a very small percentage. And for me, I rather wait until times are easy. So when I see like a mini run where there's volume in the market, then I'll come back in. But otherwise, I kind of just sit and try to like refine my other skills, right? But I've been getting more into like the technical side of things of NFTs. So like pseudo swap, things like that, because even just getting in early to that has given me qualified me for an airdrop. And I think that's like where the future is at with NFTs. It's being early into these protocols that try to like implement and add on to NFT technology, and then just getting the airdrops for those, because like the risk to reward is really nice with that. So that's what I've been focused on. So just doing pseudo pools, generating volume, and just like that type of thing.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, actually. I haven't heard that articulated before, but it's interesting because you kind of it's part of the culture almost of the space, right? Like if you kind of engage with these protocols or engage with like this tech, this infrastructure, you know, the plumbing per se of the space, you know, like there's this potential for a future airdrop or some kind of benefit to come to you for being early as a supporter or, you know, using technology, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like my first like inspiration for this was like, I remember I heard this story on Twitter. I was just scrolling how to build my portfolio, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this thread about like airdrop farming. And there's this guy who got like $200,000 airdrop from this drop called Ribbon Finance. And I was like, wow. So I talked to him and he's like, yeah, I only put in like $1,000, $2,000 into the protocol or whatever. And he ended up getting $200,000 dropped into his account. And I'm like, that's like life changing money. So whenever I have the chance to do anything early at all, I'll just jump into it, right?
That makes total sense. Yeah. It's so interesting because you've really never heard that before, but that actually makes so much sense, you know, because I don't really engage with these things that much when I'm not actively trading. And even when I am, like, I feel like I fade it, but that's, yeah, that's really insightful, man. That's smart. I guess I'm curious, like in this market, because obviously it's been kind of, you know, slow and there hasn't been much volume and stuff. Like, you know, what's been your sort of strategy at the moment? You know, like what have you sort of been doing? Have you been trading at all? Or because it sort of feels like profits are so thin, there's just not that many opportunities and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So like I said, you know, when it's hard, I try to sit out. So what I've been doing more so of is I put once again, like a portion of my portfolio into KuCoin, and I'm trying to learn futures and just trying to learn the technical side of things. Cause like when things are slow, like I always told myself, once NFTs cool down, I'm going to learn the technical side just so that would improve my overall game. So I've been just watching this course by Jason Casper, and it basically teaches market cipher, and it's basically telling you like the strength and the divergences of things. And I think that's what I've been doing mostly now.
That's awesome. No, I love that. I love your approach to this too. Cause I think, you know, the way that you are framing this, right? I think it's subtle, but it's something that stands out to me a lot of, you know, you sort of recognizing, I guess, your first cycle with Litecoin and not selling the top. Like, I think that happens to everybody. You know, I think everyone who is sort of new to trading and new to sort of, you know, speculating and stuff, when you have your first big euphoria cycle, you know, no one really sells, right? Like, I mean, my first ever NFT, I think it was like 24 Sol I bought at, or like 21 or something like that. It pumped to 90 within like, you know, I think 2 or 3 days. Oh, and I was like, goodness. Mad. Yeah. And I was like mad euphoric. I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I'm just printing money out here. And the price of Solana went up too, but obviously I didn't sell, right? Cause you just think it's up only, right? Like you exactly. Unironically think it's never going to go down. And then it obviously like tanked back to what I bought it at. And I was like, shit, you know, like this is ass, right? But it's an interesting way to frame it, because I think it's true that you kind of have to learn this stuff by being a part of it. So one of the things that I actually do really like about NFTs and crypto, I guess generally, is it kind of does bring in a new kind of generation of investors. And, you know, while there is a lot of risk, and that's something that, you know, I feel strongly about, like, I don't like that there's so much risk and there's not a lot of protections for people. At the same time, it is teaching a new generation of people about investing, which includes myself, you know, which I think is kind of awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's like you said, like your first time, you're like, you're not going to sell, right? And that's why I'm such a big proponent of journaling your notes. Because although to some people it might seem super simple, like why would you like write down your mistakes or whatever, right? Like I know what I did wrong. But I think one of the key things that elevated my trading performance and just allowed me to not repeat my mistakes was just writing down like what I did wrong. And in doing that, like I understand the patterns of loss and the patterns of wins, right? And by doing that, I just was able to refine a strategy that works for me, right? Because some people, they're super, they'll go in for a trade for like a 5-10% gain and they're happy for it. But for me, I'm more of like invest in the fundamentals, right? I think the risk to reward in a market like this, where you're going for like a 5-10% gain is not worth it, right? For me, I'm like, if I go in, I at least want 50% to like a 2-3x gain, right? So that's why, like, if you're holding for this longer amount of time, obviously there's more risk, right? But if you understand where the risk to reward is, like it's much more on your side. Like I call crypto and NFTs, like more NFTs, like a rigged casino, right? As long as you are sticking through and learning from your mistakes, you're going to win, because one big win makes up for all the losers. And that's like one of the best markets in the world, especially when you're just learning and trying to make it big.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that's very true, because the volatility is really one of those things where and I guess the, you know, the crazy pumps and just, you know, the nature of the space really just kind of dictates that, you know, if you find one really good cook, you're literally printing and compensating for all of your losses, which is kind of, again, one of those things that quite a few people talk about, right? Like, I think, you know, people who follow, again, Sneaky's wallet, because I think it's always funny to hear people talk about Sneaky's trading, right? But when you watch like what he's doing with his wallet, he kind of mints almost everything, it looks like. But at the same time, like when he's in profits, you know, he can cover 10 mints worth of, you know, his costs, which is kind of nuts, right?
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, I think really like, I love that you brought up Sneaky, because he's like, I think the first person in the NFT space to like take me under his wing and just teach me like how to win. Right. Cause at the time, like when the market is hot, as long as you mint enough, your rares or whatever will pay off for all the losers. And what he does is like, it's a volume style, right? He's really big on EV. Like if you really talk to him and ask for his strategy, he'll tell you that like, if the EV is right, if you mint enough and hold through, you're going to make money. And just implementing that idea, like, was able to, like, not only save me money, but make me money. And the people who follow his strategy, at least back then, like, you're able to compound your wealth so much. And that's how, like, I was able to grow actually 9,000 to so much. Because if I was more, I guess, like, mint low, I wouldn't have been able to go so far, right? Like, when the iron's hot, you want to be striking at it. And I feel like Sneaky's strategy was, like, super, super smart at the time.
Yeah, so why don't we take a step back here? So what was the general sort of strategy that, you know, he shared with you? And I want to get into, I guess, like the stuff that, you know, your relationship with Sneaky and how we kind of met each other as well. But I'd love to hear like what the overall general strategy is here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I'll just start with like how I met Sneaky, right? So basically, I got into Metaverse HQ on like August 1st of 2021. And I was just like, I was a quiet guy in there. I didn't do much. I just looked at what people were doing. I was trying to take it all in. But then as the time went on, I slowly got more into the community. And then one day I saw Sneaky was saying like, there's this super positive EV trade where if you mint these Wonder Quest eggs, he showed a spreadsheet of everything, like the chances that you would get this color or this rare, and it would pay off for all of the ones you minted. So I was like, you know, I was curious. I wanted to try. So I did it and I minted like, I think 30 or 40. And he's like, yeah, you're not going to lose money if you mint 40. And guess what? I was down 50% on my investment.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Sneaky was like, no, I'll cover it for you. And I was like, no. This is like, it's my risk and I'm taking it. And he really respected me for that. He's like, out of all the people in this chat, I think there's only either two or three more people who were like curious enough or like interested enough to try out the strategy. Cause I think a big thing is just being curious and trying everything that comes your way. So I was like, yeah, why not? And then from there, he just started talking to me in the DMs and then we hit it off from there. But basically the strategy is, so let's say the range that we were minting, back then was about, I say 40 to 100 mints per collection, right? And if you mint 40 to 100, not only are your gas prices generally lower, so it reduces your cost basis, but if you hit just one rare or two rares, you're covering so much of your collection. Like he would floor a bunch of the ones that he didn't get that weren't rare and it would be at a loss, but the ones that were rare, it would make up for it. So that was generally the strategy. And as you build your portfolio, you would mint more and more and more. And then basically the climax of my career basically was like minting the 200 Galactic Apes. Cause like 200 is a shit ton out of like a 10,000 collection, right? Yeah. And if you think the hype is there, you go in harder. So that was basically the strategy.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's I think that makes a lot of sense, because even just the other day, I minted something that I had a whitelist for, and I got a rare, and it was like a pretty, it was a decent rare, not like a 1-of-1 or anything, but I managed to sell it for like 10x the floor. And so it just makes you think, like, man, like, you know, the kind of returns you get on something that's like, you know, well above floor is really crazy. And it's kind of asymmetrical, right? And I think this is something that where it's just not really priced in adequately, or maybe the way that things are priced in just doesn't really make sense, right? Where, you know, if you have something like, let's say, like a Rengo black box, right? Like that's mm-hmm. that's a really hot thing right now. You know, people want to gamble on rares, but they don't realize that actually when you look at a floor Renga versus the price of the box, I think it's like a 2x multiplier, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at this point, like if you get a 1-of-1, obviously I think it's like maybe doing like a 10x, but if you get a floor, which is much more likely, it's like half. So I wonder, like, it'd be interesting to really calculate the EV of this and see like how that all sort of works, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, the thing is, I was never really that good at the math side of things. It was always sneaky, and my good friend JJ doing the EV calculations, and I would just look at it and I'd be like, okay, that looks good to me. I'm going in, right? Because I feel like, especially in the space moves so quickly, right? There's different metas, different genres. Like there was the pixel art meta, the gaming meta, like all those things. And not one person is good at all of them. So that's why like what I do is I generally just pick up on what someone is good at and I'll just follow them in. And that's worked super well for me, right? I think a lot of people, they try to like reinvent the wheel like super early on. Which I think is pretty dangerous, right? You might find your niche and your strategies early, but it's like the risk to reward, I don't think is that great, right? For me, if I found that someone was on a really good hot streak, then I would follow them in, and I was able to compound a lot of the wealth that way. So if you're weak in one area, my general advice is just like find someone who's strong in that area and get the expertise from them.
Dude, I fully agree with that. And again, I think this is, you know, a good reflection of the way that you approach things, which I really respect. And it is kind of the way that I try to, you know, encourage others to think too, which is very much just like, you know, you want to constantly be learning, right? Because when people kind of stagnate is when they think that they know it all, right? And this is one of the issues that I have sometimes, like when I'm going through Twitter and stuff, where, you know, people like cook one time or like get lucky with one trade, and they kind of have this behavior where they act like they're, you know, they understand everything in the market. And I'm like, no, you really don't. You know, they're trying to teach others or trying to like, you know, basically like be alpha callers and stuff. I'm like, man, like, you know, it's tricky. Like the space is always moving. You know, the second that you stagnate and stop looking for, you know, ways to like learn from other people is where you kind of like stop your own growth. And I think that's like one of the biggest issues in a way, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I'm a big fan of like, you know, self-improvement and just getting better each day. And like, to me, I feel like a lot of people, they don't even have to improve like their trading skills or like their NFT skills or their charting skills, right? It can be something like just like your decision making, right? Just starting at somewhere small and getting better each day is like huge.
I totally agree. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Yeah, so I mean, I guess the other thing I want to ask, and this is like taking a step back a little bit here, but I want to ask you about what you do in your personal life, like sort of how, you know, like that all ties in. Because obviously, one of the things that I find about actively trading is that it is incredibly demanding in terms of like schedule, right? Because, you know, I, living in Hong Kong, it was one of those things where I was constantly needing to like, you know, be on my computer or at least like have my phone on, because like people would like, you know, ping for a drop and it'd be like, holy shit, like there's this thing dropping right now, stealth mint or whatever. Yeah. You have to like rush your computer and mint it right away, you know? So I'm curious how you balance like that with your lifestyle and like what you do outside of NFTs and stuff.
Yeah. So I think some people know this, but I'm still in college right now. So a lot of my time does go to like, you know, studies and like things like that. But I think for me mainly, like if I were to break up my life into like three categories, it would be like getting better on the finance side, school, and just working out, right? Because I think like working out is huge for me, because I feel like it just balances my lifestyle. It keeps me like grounded in my schedule. So I just break up my schedule into like three chunks, right? So I'll just wake up in the morning, work out for 2 hours, and then I'll have like 3 hours of straight deep work, and then I'll have my lunch or whatever, and then I'll work for another 3 hours. And then I have a 1 hour of like self-improvement. And that self-improvement for me is like, it's either reading a book that I feel like could improve my lifestyle, or it's just finding some little tidbits, right? So like the recent thing that I've done for me is like, there's this idea of like the slowest mover in your life, right? And to be more efficient, you kind of have to like improve the slowest movers. So I took time to think about it. I'm like, what is the slowest mover in my life, right? And I was like, damn, it's definitely cooking. Because, like, for me, cooking, like, takes forever, right? Mm-hmm. So what I did was, like, I actually bought, like, 2 air fryers. I know it doesn't really make sense, but, like, I bought 2 air fryers because I'm like, okay, it takes me 20 minutes to prep my chicken breast. It takes me 12 minutes to make my potatoes, right? So in total, that's 32 minutes. But if I'm working or whatever and I don't reset the timer immediately, it might even be up to an hour of my time before I could get back to work, right? But if I got 2, everything would be done in 20 minutes. So, like, just implementing those little things in my life has freed up a lot of time, right? So now I'm able to work with momentum and be, like, their partnership and, like, content creator guy. So I feel like that's what I'm saying. Like, every day you want to be improving a little by little and just gaining those little bits of knowledge that really improve your quality of life. So, yeah, for me, it's just going to school, trying to build my brand in terms of NFTs and stuff like that, and then working out.
I love it. No, I love it. And I think, you know, it's an interesting thing that you bring up with the 2 air fryers, because I do think at a certain point when you value your own time, it's a question of like, hey, how much am I, you know, worth, right? In terms of if I put an hour towards this thing, like how much return am I getting? And, you know, the cost of an air fryer really isn't all that much in the grand scheme of things. If it saves you, you know, say 30 minutes to 40 minutes every day, right? Like that's a huge, you know, huge investment.
Exactly. And that's like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like the little changes that you can make every day to like bring yourself closer to success. Cause like, especially when it comes to like a space that moves as quickly as crypto and NFTs, like 20 minutes or even 10 minutes that you save could be 10 minutes that you're on to a sales drop and you didn't miss. And that could be the life changing wealth or that home run that you always needed. Right. Like my big saying with everything is that like, you just need one home run. Right. So if you're putting in the work every day and staying curious, you're bound to make it. That's why I'm so big for like building content just to inspire people to keep going. Cause I know, especially in the bear market, people get discouraged pretty easily. Like even I was back then, right? But if you're able to get even just one person to stay in the market, like you're going to change someone's life. And I really believe that.
Yeah, no, I think right now there's a dearth of content. So when I started to see you put out threads, I was like, yo, I'm here for this, man. This is like, this is quality fucking content. No, I'm super into it.
I appreciate that, bro.
No, for sure. I mean, I think it's one of those things too, where, you know, just reading what you're doing, like I can tell the amount of work that goes into what you do, right? Cause I think a lot of people actually don't realize how much effort goes into a single thread, you know? And it's kind of why I think a lot of people start off writing threads and then kind of move into like other forms of content, which can be considered like relatively lower effort, right? Like, and I think that's sort of, you know, like people move into shit posting a little bit more and just like snarky commentary with like single tweets. And I think it's totally normal because in a sense, like, you know, threads are really, really, it's a lot of effort, you know? And I think obviously there's not an easy way to monetize for it. So a lot of people sort of want to do it for the community service aspect and teaching people. But at the same time, it's like, it's very difficult to balance, right? Because it's like, you want to be able to obviously, you know, make a profit out of what you do. And it's difficult. So I find that a personal struggle as well, where, you know, I have things I want to write about, but it's like right now, engagement's at an all-time low, market's really tough. And it's just hard to, you know, invest all that time into writing these things, especially when there's not a ton going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know completely what you're saying. Cause like, it's definitely harder to build a following and a brand in a bear market, right? Mm-hmm. But like, the way I've reframed my thinking towards this is like the people that you meet and the followers that you get in the bear market are like, they need that content. Like they want it and they're going to stick with you throughout. And I feel like that's really valuable to me. Right. Cause like just building those connections, even if they're small, like means a lot. And one day, who knows, like they might come with you with some crazy alpha and you make some crazy money. So like, I'm not really interested in like monetizing exactly right now. I'm just trying to like offer as much information as I can to the people. Cause like the way I view it is like, Twitter, you could get so much knowledge so quickly, and it's super game changing for everyone, right? Like for me, if I'm able to inspire one person or change the way someone thinks about something in one way, it's a win, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think the beauty of it is also, you know, this is something that I sort of learned about content creation as well. And like the way thinking about content and stuff is, you know, it's not really just about sharing the end result, right? Because I think showing people the end result just kind of induces FOMO in a sense, or is just kind of a flex, right? Like if you just posted, for example, yo, I'm my portfolio's up to 7 figures now, I'm fucking printing money, you know, like that doesn't really add value to anyone's life aside from, you know, doing a flex. But if you put out a thread being like, hey, this is, you know, where I'm at right now, and here's how I did it. Here are the things that really helped me do it. Like, you're showing your work, and that's where all the value is, right? So being, having that willingness to share that with people and show that to people, I think is actually like massively helpful. You know, that's the kind of stuff that can change people's lives.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're here at the end of the day. You know, it's like, if we, like, I feel like for me personally, like, Sneaky was that guy for me to like hold my hand through the process and really elevate the learning curve for me. And yeah. I feel like it's my chance to give it back, because at a part of me, I just feel like I owe it to the people. It's not like I have like the greatest information to share anything, but I feel like even every little bit counts. So I just keep trying to, like, you know, pump out the threads every day.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I totally get that. And, you know, I think it's nice talking to you. Actually, is I guess making me think about and reflect on this too, because I think, you know, my initial mission on, you know, content and sort of writing threads and stuff was really just that I felt kind of bad that there were a lot of people in the space that just didn't really see projects in the way that I did, right? Because I think a lot of times it was just like, oh man, the art's like super dope and like, you know, this and that. And coming from a background as a, you know, corporate lawyer, a lot of the stuff that I did was, you know, early stage investment, due diligence, and like sort of understanding teams and things. So a lot of it for me was like, okay, like a lot of the things that I see having that background, you know, people don't necessarily get, I guess. And I really believed in the idea of like democratizing knowledge and sharing things with people, because, you know, that to me was like what would push the space forward. So it's nice. I mean, getting me all fired up now to write more content. So
awesome, bro. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And yeah, and I guess, you know, you mentioned momentum, and I kind of want to get into that too, because that's kind of how we met through, you know, Sneaky's internet friends, and obviously being contributors to that as well. So, you know, I think one of the things that I was talking to someone about, Liam D, I'm not sure if you know him, but he sort of, I think, big guy in Hideout before, and then he started his own group and stuff, but he did this like thing that he called an expert summit, where he just brought a bunch of people together. And I did a podcast episode with him too, and he sort of was talking a lot about how, you know, one of the big, most positive ROI things that you can do actually is just make connections in the space and sort of get to know people, because it opens a lot of opportunities. And occasionally that'll, you know, mean that you'll hear about things that you wouldn't ordinarily hear about otherwise, or you might get a whitelist to something, or, you know, in the case of like Sniff, like Sneaky's internet friends, you know, if you got whitelist, you just got an airdrop, which was obviously worth a lot. And, you know, I think meeting a lot of people, including yourself, like in that group for me was like really, really big. So I'm curious, like, what your experience was like getting more actively involved in Web3 on the creator side, and how that impacted your journey.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, I love that you brought up Sniff and how we met, because I remember specifically the AMA that I did with you. It was the Ragnarok AMA.
That's right.
And I was like, God dang, this guy is like on top of his game. Like, I've never seen anyone like speak so well on all the topics and just like host so well, right? And I was like, shit, maybe I should have became a lawyer, because like your speaking ability is like on 100, right?
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no, from that moment on, I was like, dang, I really got to step it up. So I just started that whole summer. I actually had summer off from research, and I was like, dang, okay, every opportunity I get to do an MA, I'm going to get on, practice my speaking skills, and just like get better at this craft, right? Because that's what I really enjoy, like just helping people out and educating when I can. So yeah, like I started doing that. And then basically at a point, Sneaky was like, the audience or like the people in the chat really like what you're doing. Like, I really want you to get on the Momentum team with me. So that's how I got on. And then from there, I just kind of found my own role in terms of like building the brand. Cause the way I view it is like, or the way Sneaky told me about it was like, if you build your brand, it will spread our awareness. And I was like, well, yeah, it's like a win-win relationship. So I was like, I have to get on this. And I'm a big like proponent of when the big opportunities come, you should take them. Like, even if you're not ready or you feel like you're not ready, just getting in and learning about them is like huge, right? And like, you're right. Just joining Momentum has opened me up to so many doors. Like the guy you said, Liam, I don't know who he is, but he says, talking about that expert summit, it's huge, because every time you meet someone, it opens up doors to another, basically another avenue. The way I view it is like, there's no way you're going to be able to reach everything in the crypto space. No way you're going to be able to see every project that's coming, or even every cook, right? So if you just know these people, it increases your chances of success. And at the end of the day, everything to me is like probability. If I'm able to increase the probability of my success by even a little bit, it's a win. Because nothing's guaranteed. As long as you have the highest probability to win, then you should do it. So that's how I view it.
Yeah, No, I 100% agree with that. And I think, you know, it's kind of that almost trope of like being like a quote unquote builder, right? But I think what people miss about that and, you know, where the trope is wrong is that it's not necessarily that you have to found a project or, you know, get involved and sort of like, you know, find an artist and basically code off a smart contract kind of thing. You know, I think actually a big part of it is really just, you know, how do you do that community service aspect of things where you're not really asking for anything in return, but you just want to help make the space a little bit better, right? And I think that's one of the things that is a struggle for some people, right? Like for me, even like it may seem obvious now, I guess, like looking back in terms of like, hey, you know, I'm a lawyer, I speak and write and stuff, and that's just what I do. So, you know, when I first joined the space, like I had a really hard time figuring out how I fit in because it felt like every other person was like a dev or an artist or, you know, came from sneakers and like understood like hype and stuff. Yeah, so I was like, So I was like, dude, I don't know any of this stuff, you know? And I was kind of like struggling to find my footing and be like, man, I want to be a more active participant, but I don't really know how to do it, you know? And then I started writing and that's kind of how I found like my legs initially. And then, you know, did some AMAs and, you know, I host some stuff in Origins as well for like, you know, we have guests that come in. So now it's sort of like, you know, I found my place, but I really do think that everybody has a possibility of finding their niche because it is so nascent. It's so young and there's so much opportunity, you know?
Yeah. Like we're definitely super early to space. I feel like as long as you spend time in here, like even if you're a beginner and you haven't had any big wins, just that journey alone and like sharing that with other people, you're bound to like be able to offer some value. Right. So I think like for those people out there who are just trying to get into content creation or even just like offering value in the space, it's just like put time in and you will find your place. You know, that's just how it works.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Yeah, so I mean, what things are you looking forward to? Like, what's next for you, man? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, the content thing is big and working on the stuff from Momentum. You know, what sort of are you excited for in the space?
So for me, I think at the end of the day, it's like a lot of the financials, right? I think a big reason why a lot of us are here is like to make our financial situation better. So like for me, I'm super excited to see. I mean, it's kind of bad to say that like how this recession is going to go. Like it's probably bad to say, but like genuinely, like it's like it could be a lot of life-changing opportunities for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you just play it right and are patient, you could change your life. It's like a lot of people, they're calling for like $400, $600 ETH, and I think that's crazy, right? Cuz I genuinely never thought we would see 3-digit ETH again. We were literally like going to break 5,000. And I think the fact that we are able to like run it back, like if you have the capital right now, like it's super exciting. So what I'm trying to do is just like, I call it the Thanos gemstones. So it's like it's capital. Yeah. Cause it's called capital, networking, experience, the environmental factors of like, you know, the economy and just, longevity in the space. And I feel like, as long as it plays out the way I think it does, which is like we go to $400, $600 and we stay there for a little while things like reset, I think the future will be really big. And then eventually one day I do want to get into like consulting for like NFTs and things like that. Cause I feel like consulting in itself is like educating people and it's educating at a high level. So once I feel like I've gained enough experience and knowledge in the space, then I'll start offering that to people. But that's what I'm looking forward to personally.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I'm hoping for cheap ETH as well, because I sort of feel like it's a great buy opportunity. Like that's the, you know, if we do get it really cheap and, you know, I feel like that's a great time to pull the trigger as well. I am fully with you on that. And I think, you know, it is one of these things too of there's an interesting thing of with what you're saying, right? I think it's like one thing is being early, but it's another thing to sort of like learn as much as possible and really like push yourself forward, because I think that's what sets people up for those opportunities when they come up later on, right? Because it's like what you were saying earlier about like wanting to read up on, you know, the technical aspect of NFTs and sort of, you know, learning stuff and taking the course, it all feeds into the overall goal of things, you know, whereas I think a lot of people live in the moment and are just sort of here for the profits and stuff. But, you know, most people don't even understand how the tech really works, right? So if you want to get into that sort of like consulting thing later on or want to grow your personal brand, like past whatever this is like now, it does require that personal investment as well. So I really like the way that you approach everything. Like honestly, it's very very methodical, actually, which is
I appreciate that, man. No, I actually wanted to touch on what you said about like, you know, improving and like looking at it from this perspective. Mm-hmm. Cause like at the end of the day, a lot of people, like, they ask me or they tell me, like, you know, it was luck. And, like, I'll be the first person to tell you that it was indeed luck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way you want to view it is, like, just showing up every day and putting in the hours, you're making the luck for yourself, right? It's 100%. Like, it's like those hours where you're, like, you're studying on the crypto charts, you're looking on Twitter for alpha or whatever, that's building luck. And then one day that luck actually turns into something, right? So, like, yep. I'm not going to put my success not to luck, but it's, like, there's ways to build your own luck. And I really believe in that.
Well, there is that old adage, right, of, you know, luck is where preparation meets opportunity, right?
Exactly.
There are just so many opportunities that pop up in this space, but if you're not ready for them at any given time, then they just won't happen for you, you know? And I think that's the big thing.
Yeah. No, precisely.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. And I think it's, you know, people have their own ways of going about things, but I love that you're sort of like, you know, being a sponge and trying to like absorb and learn from people. I think that's something that everybody can do a little bit, you know, because even myself, like I'm having a lot of reflections, I guess, on this call. This is the benefit of speaking to young guns like yourself, I suppose, you know, but I think it's one of these things of like, yeah, like I think a lot of people kind of fall into their own silos a little bit, you know, and I think, you know, myself included, right? Like for given my background and sort of how I came up in the space, it was all about like value investing and sort of like, you know, looking for things that fit these like technical qualities that I saw from a qualitative perspective, right? When mm-hmm. I think in reality, there's actually a lot of ways to look at things. And, you know, it's just, it's, there's so many possibilities to find things that stand out in this market even, you know? It's just a question of how you go about doing it. And again, if you find the people that are doing it the right way, then, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I feel like if you let yourself be inspired by the people that you're working with or the people that are around you or just people in the space, I think you open yourself up to like a lot of drive and just that hustle, right? Because like mm-hmm. like I said, like I was super inspired by you when I did the AMA with you. I'm like, dang, I really need to get better. And I was super inspired by people like Sneaky who put in the time. Like he literally like he stays awake for 3 days in a row and then he sleeps for like 2 days. Just to like maximize that time in the hot markets, right?
That's wild, yeah.
And I'm like that type of thing like just pushes you to do better. And I feel like a lot of people, like once they do get a little bit of success in the space, they stop pushing, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where it gets them. Like you said, it's like once they get that one success, they think they're set. But I think there's everyone's winning every day in the space. And if you just keep chasing those people, you're gonna make it too.
Yep. No, I fully agree with that. I fully agree with that. I think it's defeatist almost to say like, oh, you know, it's not possible. It's like, it is possible. You know, there are people who are out here for everyone who's, you know, losing and not making profits. There are people out there who are printing and sort of, you know, finding ways to maximize on whatever they're doing in any given market condition. So I fully agree with that 100%. Yeah. Man. Yeah. No, I heard about Sneaky's schedule before and I, you know, it's his whole thing of like staying up 3 days and sort of, you know, at a time, which is wild. I mean, yeah, he's a hustler. He grinds hard.
It's actually crazy because like he would stay up so much just to maximize those hours of those cooks that like he would get so sleepy when he's listing that he would do so many misclicks. Like I remember we were like cooking the Adidas drop together. I don't know if you remember that. It was like the Bored Ape Adidas drop, whatever. It was like
yeah.
And I let him handle some of the fun. Like we let him handle some of the funds and. He was like misclicking all over the place. I'm like, Sneaky, it's time for bed, bro. You gotta stop. And it's like he wouldn't stop because he wanted to do it himself. And because he understands the market really well, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's able to call bottoms, tops, and that just comes with staring at the charts for so long. And I just, it's inspiring, to be honest.
Yeah, I get it. And it's interesting because it's so different from, you know, what you're advocating in a way too. And what I kind of believe in, which is, you know, the whole like healthy body, healthy mind kind of thing. Right. Like I think the idea of like, for me, if I don't get 8 hours a night, you know, I'm really cranky and I find it really difficult to be on my A game and stuff. But like, you know, I feel like doing that kind of thing is wild, you know, cause I follow much the same schedule. I get up, I go to the gym, have my coffee, and then I have like the best, you know, 4 to 5 hours of work for that day. Right. And I think it's like the idea of staying up 3 days. I'm like, I don't know that I'd be functioning. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. No. And it's crazy because like ever since I joined the Momentum team, like just working closer to Sneaky, I've realized that like it's crazy how he's able to do all of this, right? Because like mm-hmm. I'm super about like removing the distractions, being able to like do deep work, being concentrated. Like I even like I found this thing on the iPhone the other day called like – it's a color filter and it's called grayscale, right? And it basically makes your phone black and white. So like – if you're on Instagram or like let's say Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever, it's like super boring. So you want to get off immediately, right? And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's someone like Sneaky who's like, whenever he gets a tag on Twitter or a DM on Discord, or he just hops into these various alpha groups, he's just hopping around doing whatever. And like, he still manages to be productive, right? And I'm like, I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. That's also, this grayscale thing is nuts. I'm going to activate that right now because that we are speaking the same language, my friend. This is,
this bro, is good yeah. stuff. This is like self-improvement 101. It's like I'm not going to be honest though. The first time I turned on the grayscale, I thought I was tripping. I legitimately got dizzy. I was like, am I blind? Like it was bad, but like it generally works because like when I see myself like mindlessly scrolling on Instagram or whatever, I just want to get off immediately because it's just not as like, you know, dopamine intensive. And like there's things you can do to like just have more discipline, and discipline eventually leads to success. So that's why I believe in it so much.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I totally get that. And I think, man, that this is the kind of stuff that I think people need to hear, you know, because I feel like there's a lot of content in terms of like, you know, productivity and I guess like, you know, just how to have a healthy lifestyle, you know, in the more traditional Web 2 space. But what you don't really see here so much is, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Because a lot of people love to have this like image, I guess, of like, you know, and not to disparage this image either, but I think a lot of people have this image of like the person that's like sitting there with like four or five monitors, you know. I remember JJ was talking about this actually one time. JJ was saying like, yeah, I have like four monitors, you know, I have like eight Discord windows open at a time, and I'm like, holy shit, you know, that's like really intense. But it's like the idea of like, you know, having all this stuff, all this stimulus, because there's so much information. And at the same time, like people who, you know, just don't really sleep and kind of just sit in front of the computer all day, I'm like, man, like I literally cannot understand how that works, because for me, I don't think my brain would work at all. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And like what you're talking about with JJ, like, bro, I've seen his setup. Like he uses this tool called, I think it's called like Fancy something. And like he's able to split up his super wide monitor so much with so many tabs. And he has like 5, 6, 7 Discords up at one time. So he never misses an alpha. And I'm like, bro, I tried it for 20 minutes and my brain literally could not function. I was like, what am I looking at?
Yeah. Right?
But like it's just that's what I'm saying. You're able, if you're able to like utilize these people who are like, I'm not saying like use them or whatever, but it's like JJ is good at that type of stuff, right? I'm not. Mm-hmm. So if I'm able to like implement his strategy, whether it's like just talking to him or just being connected, he's able to give me that edge that I don't have while I'm building something else, right? And that's how everyone wins. And that's why I love like Web3 so much, because like literally I can meet someone like you and I can learn so much from them. And then I could still win and like gain things for myself while still offering you value. And it's like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. No, I totally get that, man. And, you know, honestly, like I'm learning a ton from you too, and just getting the insights from, I guess, how you approach it. Like, I really appreciate it, because I think, you know, different people have very different takes on how they approach things in the space. And I think, you know, just hearing people like getting after it, like you, it's motivational, it's inspirational. You know, this is like really, really good quality content, because like even just I'm sitting here recording this, I'm like, damn, you know, fuck, I should be doing more. Like, this is awesome. You know, like I love it, because I think that's like also part of the whole thing, right? The whole idea of like, you're a product of the five people you spend the most time with. That's something that I really, really believe in, you know? And I think when you get people in your life that are like hustlers, that are getting after it, that are, you know, putting in the time and really like focusing on the discipline and working hard, like that's something that's super contagious, and it kind of rubs off. It's hard not to do that when you're surrounded by people that are doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, and Web3 is like the perfect space for that, because I feel like literally everyone here is a hustler, bro. They're like, they're not here just like, you know, have a good time. They're here to like better their life. And like the people who aren't here, they will get here. And the reason they usually get here is because they're trying to better themselves. And I think that's such a great space to be in, right?
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And I do think there is an aspect of it too, which is, you know, for you and I, like we have an interesting perspective now, because, you know, I think we're in this space where we've kind of, I guess, deliberately and also by luck and happenstance, you know, have built our own, I guess, like communities a little bit, right? Because I think like obviously what you've done with like Momentum and stuff and Sneaky and them, and like, you know, it is this active participation that kind of leads to these tighter knit communities where you can lean on people and rely on people and stuff, right? Because I do kind of think about this from time to time, where as we approach saturation with, you know, groups and alpha and stuff like this, right? I think there are levels to it, where you get groups like, let's say like Origins or MVHQ, which are sort of like the more traditional, you know, kind of been around for a while alpha groups, right? And they have their own value propositions. And then I think you have, I guess, on the opposite end of that, or like the lower end of that, which is like these groups that are kind of new, where they're just like, you know, no real track record, kind of just like, hey, we're just going to start an alpha group and sell passes and stuff. And then I think on the other extreme end, which is like, you know, I think the highest quality of this type of thing is where you build your own community of people, right? And I see this more and more where people, through networking or through just being active participants and kind of offering their time and expertise to do stuff, you know, it's again tying into this idea of, you know, how do you invest in people and network and stuff? It's really just doing things. And it's a form of investment that's greater than just money, because a lot of people have money, but not a lot of people have time and expertise that they're willing to share. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, at a certain point, the amount of money that you can put into projects or the amount of like time you can put into researching, like, just, it doesn't pan out. Right. But there's always more networks that you can be a part of. And those people, like, they're able to grow you. It's like, I can't even think like how many opportunities like were brought to me. Just by knowing someone. I think like the last time I remember something was like, I think it was the time drop, right? It was crazy, because it was like, it literally sold out in like seconds, and I didn't even know about it until like an hour before, but I got hit up and he's like, yeah, you should definitely do this. And then I was able to cook on it. And it's like, as long as you're spending time, like, you may not be in like the biggest like group of people or like alpha groups or whatever right now. If you just spend time within maybe even a free group, those small tight-knit communities will start to form. And then you'll go from there, right? Like, not everyone has these connections. And, like, I'm super grateful and, like, honored. But, like, and I'm saying, like, anyone can get there too, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think it really is just about showing a willingness to, you know, give first and, you know, not really expect anything in return. And I think that's the big thing, right? So I think tying back to the discussion about, like, you know, content and monetization, like, I totally agree with you in the sense that I think, you know, the whole objective should really just be, you know, like, how do we contribute back and how do we like do things for the benefit of other people? And I think a lot of stuff comes as a result of that, right? And I think even with, when you see like what Sneaky's doing with all the charity stuff, like, I keep going back to him because I think I often think about what he's doing and like his purpose for stuff, and I'm always like, wow, like, this is like, you know, it makes me think, right? But I think the idea of just doing things without really expecting anything in return is kind of the biggest way to demonstrate to people like, hey, I'm here, I have stuff to offer. And that's kind of how a lot of these discussions kind of start. Whereas I think a lot of people, you know, for whatever reason, like, I don't think it's malicious or anything, you know, but I think a lot of people kind of end up thinking about, how do I make a profit from doing this thing? You know, when they see everyone else cooking, maybe they feel FOMO. And it's like, you know, I think it actually is the other way around, right? Where if you give people stuff for free, or if you try your best to add value to people without really expecting anything, that's the real sauce. You know, that's how people know that you're here and you're willing to be that person, you know?
Yeah. It's like, either way, it's always like about paying your tuition, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, either you're putting in your time, or like, just learning the game is like putting in your money and losing it. But like, building the community is putting in the time and just expecting nothing in return.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you've paid your tuition and you've learned and you've gone through and got your stripes, like, you're able to have much a better skill set. And with that skill set, you're able to succeed. So it's like, it's all just putting in the time, man. It's like, everyone just says like, yeah, just show up, but it's really just show up, you know?
Yep. No, 100%. So I did want to ask also, I think as a trader, right, as someone who is here with the stated objective of like trying to maximize your profit in the space, which I think, you know, again, like, I don't really, I think that's, it's one of the things that's always curious to me is, what are your parameters for, I guess, like, holding something, right? Because obviously you have like an Azuki PFP, and, you know, I'm sure that you're holding other NFTs as well. The question is, what for you qualifies as a hold versus something that you're willing to flip? And like, is that something that you're still taking into consideration of like, well, I will sell this at one point, or like, you know, it's a price issue. Like, what are the factors that motivate you in terms of deciding what bags you want to keep?
That's actually a good question. Because I'm more of like, the more I learn about crypto and the more I learn about NFTs, I'm more like on the stance that being liquid pans out much better and is much lower risk for you a lot of the time. Unless you mint like a Bored Ape or a Punk or something, like, you're probably not going to be able to like make that big investment through holding it, right?
Yeah.
But for me, the things that I am holding, it's like, I either have to believe in the team or I have to believe in their moat, right? So for me, the moat so I'm basically holding only like three things right now that are like decently sized, I guess. So for one, it's the other side lands, right? So I really believe, like, there's a saying, like, you know, never fade Yuga, and I really believe that's true. Like, I'm holding two of them, and I feel like in the future whether through it's an announcement or just some demos that they put out, I think the money will be there, right? So I'm still holding on that. And then when it comes to Azuki, I genuinely think like there's not a better looking PFP out there, right? It's like I was talking to one of my friends about it. He's like, if you show, it's like a test for NFTs, right? It's like, if you show this NFT to your one of your friends, will they think you're cool, or will they think you're an idiot? Right? Like, do you think you're stupid? And I think Azuki is probably the only thing that passed that test, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think anything else, like even CryptoPunks, which is like super dear to my heart and I love it. It's like, why do you have pixel art as they or whatever, right? But if you show someone Azuki, they're like, wow, this is super cool. And like, just passing that test for me is like, it's acceptable for a long-term hold, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I get that. I get that. And I do think it's important to have that as well, right? Where, you know, sometimes there are things where, it, you know, the best ROI possibly is to hold. I think that's not necessarily the case in, you know, for a lot of things, just in terms of like ROI from a pure financial standpoint. But there is that thing also of, I think, you know, if you're an active participant in the space, like sometimes having, you know, a profile picture can change things. And I'll qualify that, right? Because I think this is like a testy subject perhaps, but I felt like people took what I was saying a bit more seriously when I had Azuki PFP versus when I did it.
Oh yeah. I completely agree, bro. It's like the space is very, it's like what's that term? Veblen goods or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the status and like, it's like social proof. And it's just the way the game works, you know? And I agree with you. When I was rocking, like, I don't remember what I was rocking before, but like, I got no engagement and it was hilarious. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. And it's a shame, because I think actually like there, you know, people have good things to say, right? It's not like my experience, you know, as a lawyer or anything else, like changed just by virtue of the fact that I have an Azuki PFP. But I remember when Azuki was cooking, especially, you know, and I had the Azuki PFP, that's when my engagement was probably at an all time high, you know? And I think,
yeah,
it was an interesting kind of, I guess, I don't know, thing to reflect on almost, of like, you know, are people here because they like the content, or are they here because, you know, they think that I have the golden, I'm the golden goose or whatever, you know, that I'll be able to call the next big thing. Truthfully, I think it's a bit of both. And I think that's kind of where we've gone wrong in the space. But I think it's also human psychology, right? Like, there are some people with, you know, Bored Ape PFP that just shitpost all the time and have like 100K. And that's, yeah, that's great. You know, good for them. But at the same time, it's like, it's just an interesting psychology that I think about from time to time, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's like, I feel like a lot of things like this, like, especially when you dive into the space, because one of my friends actually asked me, like, do you think it's ethical to like trade NFTs and like be winning this amount of money and like while other people are losing? And I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just ignorant, but like when I take the time to think about a lot of things in the space, there's a lot of things wrong with it, right? Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, insider trading, there's people who like do malicious things, such as like they'll post about like this project, how bullish they are, and while they're doing that, they'll sell, right?
Yeah.
And like, obviously those things are wrong and such, but like, I feel like a lot of the things that if we dig enough deep enough into it, like you're gonna find something wrong with it, you know? But yes, I agree, it's like so many people in this space have so much value to offer, but just because they don't have a nice PFP or whatever, it's no one's gonna listen to them. And it's kind of like high school, and it sucks, but I don't know. I don't know how you would even fix that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. And truthfully, I don't think it's one of those problems that's really fixable in a sense, because it in a way, it is just human psychology. I think, you know, one of the things that I try to do is, you know, and I think I need to do this a bit more, but, you know, it's something that has been, I guess, slowed down a bit in the bear market. But when I grew my following a little bit on Twitter, and, you know, it's not massive by any means, but, you know, I sort of was trying to be like, hey, there's actually a lot of other creators that put out really, really good content that have really great analytical minds. So I was trying to give them a platform as well as much as possible. And I think, you know, and sometimes for artists too, right? It's just, I think using the platform for good and trying to get eyes on people who really deserve it, I think is something that is a good thing to do, you know? And I had a boost from that as well. Like, I think, you know, Skidilly, back in the day, he randomly put out this thread where he was like, hey, these are people that you should follow. And I think I gained like, you know, 500-600 followers, like just off that thread. And I was like, holy shit, you know, because he tagged me in it, tagged a bunch of people. And it's stuff like that that I think is how you can use a platform for good in a way, or I guess to promote, like, you know, good causes and try to do things that are net positive for the space. And again, just spreading education and good content, you know. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying I agree that, you know, this is kind of an issue and it's not ideal, but there is good that can come out of it in a sense, if you know, you approach it the right way, I guess, with a following, you know?
Yeah, it's like if you were able to work hard enough, you're able to fix some of that problems. Like you said, like since you had that decent following, which was like really big in my eyes, like you're able to uplift other people and just like give it back, right? Mm-hmm. And like that kind of reminds me of like the last podcast that you had with I think it was Location, and you guys were talking about effective altruism, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like for the people who are early right now, like I genuinely think that we're early to NFTs. If we're able to like just build up this knowledge and this experience in the next cycle, when we're the OGs and people start coming in, we're able to give back in so many ways that like we're able to like lift them up so high. And I feel like that's how we should be doing things.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, it's an interesting thing you say now about like, I guess, creators in the bear market really sort of being able to have an impact on people. And I think that's very true. And I think, again, galvanizing me, man, like I'm really, you know, just sort of fired up right now, like hearing all the things you have to say. Like, I love your positivity and your approach to everything in the space. And it's making me want to put more work in. So I appreciate it, man. Honestly.
No, I really do like look up to you, bro. Like, it's like, I'm saying that AMA was crazy. And then afterwards, you know what I did? I literally, I went on YouTube and I was like, how do I get better at like hosting and things like that? And I just went on like a Joe Rogan binge, bro. I was watching all the videos about Joe Rogan, how he's like such a great like interviewer and all those things. And I'm like, dang, I feel like I'm getting better already. So yeah.
Man, this is why though that you're gonna succeed at anything you do. Like I respect the hell out of that. And you know what? Like it's very mutual. I respect your hustle. I think I have a lot to learn from you and sort of, you know, get my own ass in motion and sort of, you know, getting to work on stuff. Cause I think hearing about the kind of work that you're putting in is inspirational. And I think a lot of people can benefit from that. So I really hope you continue, you know, doing the content thing, and I hope you continue like inspiring others, because I think this is something that, you know, will change a lot of people's lives for the better, you know, in a really, really big way, in a way that I think we haven't really seen so much in this space yet, which would be huge.
I really appreciate that, man. Like I'm really excited for the future, like your future, my future, and like the space's future. I think it's going to be really beautiful.
Hell yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we start to wrap up here? I mean, like, you know, one of the things I guess I'm also a bit curious about is like what you have in mind for your content, right? I mean, I think this is something that I am happy to sort of, you know, like leave that to you to see how much you want to talk about. But, you know, with the threads, they've been great. I'm curious about like if there's anything else you thought about doing as well.
So me and Sneaky actually were talking about it, because like for me, like what I do is like if I want to like come up with some ideas, I'll take like a 30, 40, maybe even an hour long walk, mm-hmm. just to like let these ideas come to me, right? And one of these ideas that I was having is like, I think a lot of the big wins in the space, like not that many people know about them. Like let's say like someone who got like 40 or 50, 60 digis, right? What made them want to hold and what made them want to go in?
Yeah.
And I want to like speak to these people and basically like ask all the ins and out, like how are you able to like make this win happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, because I know so many people with like huge wins, like for one, like JJ, he had that like 100 ETH like other deed snipe, but that was all methodical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if people are willing to share the alpha, like if I'm able to bring that out there to the space, like people are going to think like it, be able to understand like how there are so many possible ways to win. You don't just have to like mint, you don't just have to trade. Like you can have like a better system from so many people, right? And I feel like that's something I'm going to be working towards in the future.
That's awesome. Nah, I can't wait to see it. And, you know, I look forward to that as hell. But yeah, I mean, again, thank you so much for your time. I mean, it was really nice speaking to you. Hope we do this again at some point. But yeah, tell people real quick where they can find you on socials and everything.
Yeah. So you guys can find me on Twitter at NFTAura, and that's where I'm going to be at most of the time. So yeah, I was so excited to get on this podcast today, and pleasure having you, like talking to you, man.
Yeah, 100%, dude. And I look forward to everything that's coming up. All right. Well, thank you very much, Aura, and we'll speak again soon.
See you later, man.